Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster today. And joining with me is the producer, the one and only, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello, hello.
Good morning, fellas. It is Monday.
Yes, it is Monday.
Monday. We are in the month of February. Can you believe this, 2013?
I know. It's flying.
It is here. It is here. Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to give some shout-outs this morning. Tony Tone, good to see you last night. Things are going good. Book four, I'll tell you. Tony's a disciple. He's disciple, man. He's going after God. Awesome.
Awesome.
Eddie, great seeing you again. It was just awesome seeing you last night and just being with the family and just praying for you, man. Praying for you.
Yes.
Of course, give a shout-out to Ayana and Juan out there in Texas. Holding it down. Everything is big. One day I'm gonna get out there to Texas. I'm gonna get out there to Texas.
Make sure you bring your boots now.
I know. I gotta borrow some boots from Brett.
A different hat.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you might want to change that hat too, bro.
Did you see that Super Bowl game last night, fellas? Did you watch that game?
Yes, sure did.
Oh my god.
It almost wasn't a game.
Yeah.
I was concerned. I thought it was gonna be a blowout. I was like, oh man.
Oh my goodness. Was that one of the most exciting?
It was up there.
I was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was pretty good. That first half, but I tell you what, them Ravens were blowing up score. I couldn't believe that.
I know. I was very surprised.
Very surprised. How about that 108-yard run into the end zone?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was awesome. I don't think they even touched him.
They ran straight up the middle. I mean, I've never seen that happen before. Normally, they're squirreling around all over the place.
Yeah, that's rare. Yeah, that was amazing.
You know, they were playing in the Saints Dome. What do they call that? The Saints Dome? What is that? That place over there?
It's called the Superdome.
Superdome.
The Mercedes-Benz Superdome now.
Yeah. Well, wasn't all that super, though, was it? What happened? I mean, the game was going great. You know, that the Ravens had the momentum. I think they scored 20-some-odd points to, I don't know, a 7. This was a blowout. And then all of a sudden, Chris, at the Superdome, the Superdome.
Somebody forgot to pay the power bill.
The power goes out.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
I've never seen nothing like it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're going to say something surely about it and realize they have no power. They can't even talk. Like, it took five minutes.
I know the announcers were like mid-sentence. All of a sudden, joop. Like, I was concerned. I was like, oh, is this a terrorist attack? What's going on?
Is that something?
I was like, wow.
I didn't even think about that.
But yeah, that crossed my mind, dude. I was like, oh.
Well, I'll tell you, geez. And then they finally go to commercial. And Ravens talking about they have momentum. I mean, they really had momentum. They were just going. Momentum is so important when you're winning. Mm-hmm. You're just going. And momentum is just building. It's like, you know, you're going down a hill on a skateboard or on a bike. I'm sure you haven't done that in a long time, Pat.
But no.
You know, those that ride bikes, you go down a hill, and as you're building momentum, you're getting faster and faster. And all of a sudden, the power goes out. And it's like, oh, my goodness, these guys are stretching out in the field. They're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's when the momentum shifted in. Power went out.
Sure did.
Maybe it was a plane.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Then the 49ers came back.
Roaring back. I mean, like 17 unanswered points.
And it was like in a little over 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
17 points in 4 minutes.
Amazing.
And Baltimore just eked out a victory. I mean, they won 34-31. But it got me to thinking, everyone's talking about momentum. They're talking about momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, momentum is, like, very important. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes, I was thinking about, you know, you're thinking about a biting. How many times, you know, if you haven't had committed to a specific plan with a biting time, sometimes, you know, I hear stories, people reading the Word of God, and then, you know, 1-2 days, then stop for 3 days, and then lost momentum, then pick up again one day, and then stopping them. And it's like you lose a momentum, you lose a flow of just consistently spending time with God, you know. But it's amazing that if you commit, make that commitment, that you're gonna abide with God daily. You're gonna spend time with Him, you know. And if you need a simple plan on how to spend time with the Lord, you can go to iabide.org. But it's amazing that once you start abiding, you know, one day leads to 3 days, then you're like, ooh, 5 days.
Yeah.
I abide it for a whole week straight.
I know, right?
Then you get 10 days, and it starts building 21. You do this for 6 weeks, that's 42 days of consecutively spending time with the Lord, reading His Word. You know, and then you're tuning your ears to hear what He's saying to Him. And it's amazing how momentum builds in that place, isn't it?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, then when you get to that point, once you get to that 6 weeks, then it's like you don't even think twice about not doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like it just becomes part of your life, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you're like, I cannot go back.
No.
It's like, I was made for this, and you were. You were made to hear the voice of the Lord. You know, we often talk about demystifying the voice. You know, it's like God wants to speak to you. John 10, my sheep hear my voice and follow another.
Right.
And that's your inheritance as a child, you know, as a son and daughter of God, to hear the Lord. But you need a plan. You need a plan because all the great intentions are one thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
But reality and distractions and all types of stuff happen that before you know it, you started out well. You said in the new year, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to set God as the first part of my day. Got me a journal for Christmas. I got a new Bible. You know, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. That's it. It's just me and God. And then that first day comes, the alarm doesn't go off. It's like, wait a minute.
What happened? Yeah. Or you turn it off. Five more minutes.
But it's amazing, though, that momentum that builds. It's just like it gets easier and easier and easier. I always say that, you know, spending time with the Lord is not that I got to, but it's a get to. We get to. It's not, it's a whole different mindset that we're not reading the Word of God daily because that's what a good Christian, quote unquote, supposed to do. But it's what we get to do. It's a fun inheritance that we have a chance to speak to the Lord. And so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Get that momentum. You want a plan? Go to iabide.org and get that momentum. Guys, I don't know if you heard this, but did you hear about Chris Kyle?
Chris Kyle.
The American sniper?
I think I heard something about it. I'm not sure. I don't know the details. What's going on?
Yeah, well, Chris Kyle, he has been known or was known as the most lethal sniper in U.S. history. Oh, wow. He was killed over the weekend.
What happened?
Was killed at a gun range. He was, and this is kind of tragic, but he was at a gun range in Texas, and he did a lot of work, Chris Kyle, with military veterans that came back from the war that had a post-traumatic stress disorder. And so he would, you know, help them out and kind of mentor them. And he would bring them out to the range to, you know, get them, you know, shooting and type stuff familiar with. Well, apparently one of these war veterans allegedly snapped and wound up shooting Chris and his friend that was out there with him.
What?
And yes, and it's just tragic. This just happened over the weekend. It just happened. This is a decorated, I mean, this is a hero. This Chris Kyle is a hero. He was responsible. First of all, he was an elite team 3 of the SEAL. He was a Navy SEAL. He had 5 bronze stars. He did 4 tours of duty in Iraq.
Wow.
He is responsible, he says, for, in his book, 255 kill shots in the military. The military credits him with 160. They say he's the most lethal, was the most lethal sniper in American history. He wrote an autobiography about it. And in fact, he was so good at what he did that the Iraqi insurgents put a $20,000 bounty on his head. And so you think about it, it's just a tragedy of all the ways to go. You know, he started a foundation, a nonprofit foundation to, you know, to help these war veterans out. And Travis Cox, who's director, says that that Chris died doing what filled his heart with passion, saving soldiers struggling with the fight to overcome PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of just brings that whole, you know, situation to light right now, because we have so many veterans that are coming back with you know, this post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And, you know, our hearts and our prayers go out for Chris Kyle and his family and his friend, Chad Litterfield.
Mm-hmm.
And we say thank you, you know, this is a great American right. hero. A defender of freedom, you know, is willing to go 4 times out there to Iraq, and you know, our prayers go out to him. But you know, we also need to pray for our military. We need to pray for our veterans. You know, a new Department of a Veteran Affairs study just came out,
mm-hmm.
and it shows that the toll of suicide on veterans is even higher than previously suspected. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. military veterans commit suicide every 65 minutes on average, according to this recent study.
Mm-hmm.
And it was believed that it was like 18 service members, former service members, would kill themselves each day. But now that rate is up to 22. 22.
Wow.
And you look at our soldiers that they're fighting overseas. They're defending freedom. What this study continues to say, that more active duty soldiers die from suicide than combat. Last year, recording a record-setting number of 349 members of the armed forces took their own lives. This is according to the military in the New York Daily News. And we got to remember that these soldiers are on the front lines for us. You know, the things that they've seen, the war. Now they just, you know, took the ban off to allow the women to actually go on the front lines.
Right.
But you're talking, you know, Army, you're talking the Marines, you're talking about the SEALs, you know, and
mm-hmm.
of course you have the Air Force and the Navy. And it's just like, this is very traumatic. This is very traumatic. So they're coming home and they're trying to kind of reacclimate to a different environment. Chris was known for giving interviews like that, saying, hey, listen, you have one different mindset when you're out there. And I've never served the military. I haven't had that privilege or been a chance like that. But from friends that I've heard, and we have friends and brothers, and hearing some of Chris's interviews, saying, listen, these guys coming back, they have to get acclimated. You're there for a tour. You have to have a certain mindset to survive out there. You have a band of brothers, and they say that their life, you know, they feel like they're doing such a great purpose. Their life has so much meaning. They come back home and they try to find meaning again, and they're trying to deal with all of this stuff.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, it's very hard for them to transition from that way of life. I mean, we know people that's gone through that, and they have had a very difficult time transitioning back into regular civilian life.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't imagine what it's like, you know, but it's tough.
And one thing that we should do as Americans and even as believers is to pray for our soldiers. You know, let's pray for them. If you're blessed to know a soldier that's come back and served and he's a veteran, do everything you can to help them out, find employment and reacclimate and introduce them to friends, even invite them amongst your fellowship and believers, take them out for a cup of coffee or something and really just pray for them and their families, because their families have the transition too. You know, here's maybe a soldier coming back home, and now he has a wife and children, and they got to, you know, kind of reintroduce
coexist
the whole,
again,
as a family unit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, put that M16
right,
down.
Not a platoon.
You
know,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I always try to, if I'm with my sons, you know, out somewhere and we see a soldier or see someone in fatigues, I always love to go up to them and shake their hand and try to instill that in my sons, that appreciation of honor and service and to thank, you know, soldiers that have fought for our freedom. Because think about it, these soldiers are fighting for us so that they're defending our Constitution. They're defending freedom.
Right, exactly.
You know, and they're fighting a war oftentimes overseas so that a war hasn't been fought here in our own country, you know, outside of, you know, terrorist attacks that have occurred. But, you know, America's been pretty blessed not to be fighting a war in downtown Main Street somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that and just to make sure we give our shout outs and our prayers and our support to all of the military. We say a great hearty thank you and appreciation for you for everything you've done. And we continue to lift up the Chris Kyle family and Chad Littlefield family. And we thank you for your service.
That's good.
We'll be right back.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
To VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you're just joining us for the first hour, we're just talking about the Ravens, how they won the Super Bowl, and how momentum is so important in life and what you're doing, and especially when it comes to having an abiding relationship with the Lord. You want to have some momentum. And we talk about how you can just set us a commitment and how each day, as you continue to abide, your faith is going to increase, and you're going to have the opportunity to tune your ears even more and more to the voice of the Lord, and you're going to love it. You're going to love hearing from the Father, and so we encourage you to listen to that. And we also talked about a hero. We talked about Chris Kyle, who's just recently killed over the weekend, and how we just honored his service, and of course we honored all of our military veterans, and we encouraged everyone, listen, you want to get behind our military. You want to get behind our military. You know, I wasn't around during the Vietnam War, but when I saw, you know, in school, and I saw videos and stuff at how some people treated some of our veterans coming back, I just knew as a young kid, as a teenager watching, I just knew there was something fundamentally wrong with that. You know what I mean? I just knew that there was something wrong of dishonoring someone who had no choice to go,
right,
and was drafted, you know, and fought. I'm grateful that many people are supportive these days for our military.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage you to continue to pray. We continue to pray for them, and pray for our military, because, you know, a strong defense, you know, oftentimes it's what hinders a lot of other countries from trying to even, you know, raise up.
Right.
But with that, you know, some more in God's news behind the news, Iran is making some news here today.
Really?
Yeah, Iran. Iran says that Israel will regret the Syria airstrike. You believe this? This is what Iran is saying. Apparently, Israel's kind of hinting that they allegedly, you know, took out some, did an airstrike basically on Syria. What we're trying to do is make sure that these weapons that are in Syria's hands doesn't get to Hezbollah,
mm-hmm,
or any of other Israel's enemies. Because, you know, time is ticking here. You know,
yeah,
at any moment, really, Syria can just implode and be gone away. Mm-hmm. And Syria's really only ally in that region is Iran, and of course Russia supporting them. But once Syria goes, it's going to be a really major blow to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of their buddies is gone, and the issue here with Syria is that they have these nuclear weapons, man. They have these nuclear weapons that could so easily get into the hands of Israel's enemies.
Is it nuclear or bio?
Oh, I'm sorry. Chemical weapons.
Yeah.
And this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is dangerous, and you definitely don't want your enemies, who have attacked you before, mm-hmm, to be able to do this. And all of this is happening. All this is happening. You know, while the last week, the former senator Chuck Hagel was going for, you know, before the Senate to get, mm-hmm, to be confirmed,
right,
and to, you know, answer the Senate to get some questions. This is President Obama's pick for the Secretary of Defense.
Right. Right.
And this is kind of a big deal. This is like the Secretary of Defense, you know, which Leon Panetta was, you know, has been Secretary of Defense here for a, mm-hmm, while. This is like, you know, there's the Commander in Chief, the President, and then the Secretary of Defense. I mean, he has authoritative power over all the military.
Wow.
And your ideologies and your views and how your perspective on you know, these other countries outside, mm-hmm, the United States, it's very important. In particular, for us as believers, your view towards Israel.
Exactly.
That's quite important. And so he had a very grilling 8 hours of confirmation hearings. I mean, these were like, they were very tough. And you know what? You want to assume that type of position. That's something that you should expect, anyone should expect,
mm-hmm,
to be able to stand on your record and to be able to ask some questions. And one of the things that really had a lot of the senators and a lot of Americans, believe a lot of believers, you know, very concerned about Chuck Hagel being the Secretary of Defense,
yeah,
is the statements that he had made about the Jewish lobby.
Mm-hmm.
He said the Jewish lobby intimidates many members of Congress. That's what he said. The Jewish, yeah, lobby intimidates many members of Congress. Which, of course, was like a firestorm because, mm-hmm, you know, one of the senators from Mississippi asked, you know, do you stand by that statement? You know, does the reason that they succeed is because they use intimidation? Is that the reason?
Right.
He didn't want to answer any of those questions. And then, yeah, Lindsey Graham came in, the senator from South Carolina, and basically he just, you know, began to ask him some more questions about that. You know, about his views about Israel. And, you know, allegedly Chuck Hagel refused to see Iran, you know, as a threat. And it's, mm-hmm, just like, what's the deal here? And Lindsey Graham also asked him about his refusal as a senator several years ago to sign a letter in support of Israel. And again, it was kind of no comments about that, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said the lack of this is what Lindsey Graham said, the lack of signature by you sends chills up my spine. It's like, why would you not put a signature to support Israel? That's a very easy thing. It's our number one ally in the Middle East.
Right.
Israel has always been our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not do that? What kind of signal does that send?
Right.
So it's something of definitely that we should be concerned about. I mean, you're looking at someone who's being nominated, and you got to say it kind of the way it is. We have a president that has already suggested that Israel should go back to 1967 border lines.
Right.
You know, he's refused to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu upon his request when the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came to New York to the mm-hmm. United Nations to draw a specific red line.
Right.
And President Obama said he was not able to meet with him. He was busy.
Yeah.
He was not able to meet with him.
Right.
With our friend, with our ally, who has very serious concerns. He told the French president, Sarkozy, the former French president, mm-hmm. When he thought it was an off-mic statement,
right.
That, you know, something to the effect that I got to, speaking about Benjamin Netanyahu, that I got to deal with him on a daily, weekly basis, and you think you have problems, I got to deal with him. It's like, this is not how you treat a friend. This isn't how you disrespect a friend. And we must stand with Israel, and we're seeing that many are turning their backs on Israel. We must not. We can't forget that our elected officials, the people that we send to Washington, they are our representatives. They're our representatives.
Right.
And how we feel about Israel, it should be a major concern.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that we have policy in place. We want to make sure that we are nominating people to very important cabinet positions. I mean, you look at the Secretary of State, Attorney General, Secretary of Defense, the treasurer, those are the four probably most top important cabinet positions in the country.
Right.
The Secretary of Defense is a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's going to be a lot of things happening in the Middle East, as we've been told prophetically. And we want to make sure that we're alert and that we're aware mm-hmm. and that we're praying for our friends, that we're praying for Israel, that we're supportive of Israel.
Right.
I want to encourage you, we know that the Lord never sleeps or slumbers, okay? We know
all
that.
Right.
We know the Lord is on watch. We know that God is on watch. But as believers, we want to join in prayer. You know, the prayer of a righteous man, right, availeth mm-hmm. much, you
That's
know?
Right.
If one can send 1,000 a flight, two can send 10,000 a flight, right?
That's right.
Whatever two or three agree in my name, right? So there's power in agreement, there's power in unity, and there's power in prayer, and we can stand in the gap, and we can actually intercede for Israel.
That's right.
And so I encourage you, in fact, speaking about intercession, if you missed last week's program by any chance, my goodness,
oh, yeah.
You've got to make sure that you listen to intercession versus intersuccession.
Yes.
What a word.
That's very good. That's very good.
Was that not awesome? There is a major, major difference between someone who intercedes
mm-hmm.
and someone who's going to intersucceed you.
Right.
And the difference could save your life, your ministry,
yeah.
your call, or it could have you in a cave somewhere.
Definitely.
And very, 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 very important. Interested in knowing that intercession is not an office. It is not an office.
No, it's not.
We are all called to pray. We are all called to intercede.
Mm-hmm.
And you just definitely don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss. In fact, there was two segments called intercession versus
succession. Right.
And kind of a part two to that was intercessor versus intercessor continued. We talked about if mm-hmm. Abraham had an intercessor or intersuccessor,
oh, right.
What would that look like? And we talk about intersuccessor. Let me kind of break that down for you. It's inter and with the, you know, quote, successor,
mm-hmm.
someone that's going to succeed a
right.
person who has authority. Someone's going to come after.
Right.
Okay. And you definitely don't want to miss that. Very, very, very important. We're going to be talking about it. We have wisdom moments coming up in the extra hour. We're also going to be talking about the seed, the power of the seed, and how effective that is. We're also going to be talking about how we don't need to be worrying. We don't need to be worrying as believers. Jesus plainly told us that we don't need to spend not one time worrying. But we're also going to talk about what we can do instead of worrying. You don't want to miss us in the extra hour. And, of course, we're going to be sharing just some more highlights. I think Pat's going to be sharing with us something the Lord spoke with him about. And we're just so, so excited. But we'll be right back.
You know, I'm beginning to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from, like, hitting the hammer and trying to build some. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on, one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what is the level? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because I don't know. Apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now. And you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go. You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to vfntv.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you're just joining us in the first hour, my goodness, man, we've talked about so much. And you just want to be encouraged. Keep prayer for Israel going. Make sure that that torch and that flame is going and burning bright for Israel as we stand with our brothers and sisters in Israel. I know, Pat, that something on your heart you wanted to share. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been reading in Galatians recently, and there's so much meat in Galatians. And, you know, it's so quick. I mean, we're so quick to forget how we got where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Or forget where we came from, in other words. And, you know, we can get prideful, you know, thinking that, you know, we're doing whatever it is God's called us to do, or, you know, you're getting familiar, you're getting comfortable in where you're at and what you're doing. And I was reading in Galatians 2, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses?
Mm.
He says, of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. He says, how foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?
Wow.
Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it?
Mm.
And then he says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message about Christ.
Wow.
And, you know, it just made me think about, you know, how far God has brought me in my life personally and all the things that he's taught me. But I cannot get comfortable or familiar with that because it was God, by the work of his Spirit, who taught me the things that he's taught me.
Wow.
You know, we were so dependent on things. We're so dependent on God when we don't know how to do something in particular or where's this, you know, how's God going to provide this specific need? You know, you're
a
like,
miracle,
you're like,
right?
God, I need a miracle kind of thing. And we're very humble and we're praying all the time in that regard. I think God works the miracle, right?
Right.
And I'm always like so thankful. But then we get familiar, we get comfortable. It's like, oh, I know how to do that, whatever. You know, we forget that it was God that did it to begin with. We don't pray. We start, you know, walking in the flesh and just, you know, just kind of haphazardly kind of doing things just because we know how to do it. And then all of a sudden things start falling apart. God help.
Lord, can you help Pat? Can you help us? You right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just so dangerous, you know, because it was God who did it to begin with. You're going to try and do it by your own works.
Wow.
Like, hello? You know, I'm the one holding the universe together. You think you might want to bring me in it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's so important because you think about it. I mean, Paul sent straight says, "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? I mean, what's the deal here?
Like, hello,
you guys started out in spirit. You started off, you know, humble. You started off seeking God. You started off saying, we don't know nothing. We're just foolish men. You know what I'm saying? In touch with an awesome God.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you got edumacated. You know what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden you know something, and it's just this ain't right.
Oh, yeah.
This ain't right." And it's a constant reminder for us to keep our heads low, keep Jesus high, and to be in that place of continual dependency upon the Lord, which is really humility, you know, total dependency
Absolutely.
Upon God and respect for other people. But when we realize that everything is from God, you know what I mean? And he's the one holding everything together, then it's going to go. It's going to go good for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to go good for us.
Yeah. And it's not that things won't happen. It's just that you know who's in control.
Right.
You know, you're constantly on your knees because you know without him, it's impossible.
Right.
Right.
And he has a way of reminding you if you forget. Especially when you start walking in the flesh and, you know, you start being prideful. You know, things will start falling apart in an instant.
In a minute.
In a heartbeat.
All right. I mean, wear yourself out because you're trying to take over what God started, and you're wearing yourself out, and you're getting all irritated and frustrated and because you know, you're trying to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the thing is that we can rest in God. You know, you're absolutely right, Chris. You know, we can rest in the fact that, you know what, if God's called us, if God's brought us here, if God's given us this job, if God's given us this position, if he's blessed us, you know what? He is going to help you all the way if you trust him. It was like, at one point, was God driving and you decided to move God out the driver's seat and you said, what, right, where did that happen? What mile marker was that that you just decided to say, Jesus, I got this. Okay.
Right.
In the back, you know, Jesus goes from driving, look at this proverbial vehicle, right, to being a passenger before you know he's in a back seat and is like, we left him at the last rest stop. I don't know where we left Jesus. You know, it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And we can get caught up in with a spirit of religion that all of a sudden we have to maintain what God already started.
All right.
And that's a rat race, man. That's like getting on, you know, a treadmill that's going nowhere, like a hamster in a wheel.
Going nowhere fast. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going nowhere real fast because God did it. You can't start taking credit for what God's done.
No, you can't. You can't.
Yeah, because that's it's not going to go well.
No.
It's not going to end well. And think about it. He says, did I perform these miracles because of something that you did? Did you, you know, and there's a lot of people trying to do a whole lot of things. You know, if I fast and if I read 30 times, you know, in a day, and if I memorize all these scriptures, then God will. And it's right. Like, God can't be manipulated.
No, he's not some formula or some
or a combination that we can pick, you know. Three to the right, two to the left, hocus pocus, and then Jesus is going to come. No. God's not going to do that. Mm-mm. He's just not going to do that. But what you're saying is powerful because, you know what? If we're not there already, which I believe we are, I believe that days are going to come that we're just going to have to live on just total dependency. And we're just so blessed in this nation.
You're right, because there's so much to our disposal in regards to just leaning on Google. We lean on our jobs. We lean on, family. We lean on all kinds of things, our money or whatever.
Yeah.
And God's nowhere in it.
Yeah.
You know, we're so quick to go to these things. Like, you know, I mean, I believe this is going to come to the point. I mean, another thing, we can always quickly just, you know, call up the pharmacist, or we can call the doctor's office. Hey, you know, something's going on. I need this, instead of going to give God first. Yeah, give me a pill.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's just,
you look at those other countries and you see great faith. It's because, you know what? God's the first choice. He's not the third or fourth or fifth choice. He's not the seventh one in the line when it's like, oh, I need something. I'm just going to get in. You know, and it's like CVS and Walgreens is on speed dial. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And we need God on speed dial. Yeah.
I believe those days are coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have to be our first choice.
You know, and it's all about, you know, like you were saying, it's remaining in that peace. You know, it reminds me of the scripture in Psalms where it says, be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
You know, I saw that one day and it was just like, I got this big, huge mega pop. It's like, you know, when I'm still, you know, I'm going to see God at work in my life instead of, you know, like we're talking about us trying to take the reins and begin to steer it this way and that way instead of following God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're at peace, when we're at rest and we're letting God work, then we're going to see him, you know, and we will know at that point that, oh, he is God.
That's right.
Because there's no way that I could do this. I couldn't, you know, work this thing out or.
Right.
Man, that's a powerful word, man.
Yeah.
It is powerful. It kind of just reminds me, kind of goes in line. We're going to share this in the extra hour, but just kind of feels like it just flows with what you're saying, Pat.
Yeah.
That when Jesus was speaking, his disciples, he was saying, Matthew 6, he was saying, listen, you know, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your whole body, what will you wear? You think about that one verse alone. I mean, if you're an American reading this verse of scripture, it's like, I think, like, sometimes so even hard to comprehend. It's like, really? I don't ever worry about eating. I just go into my parents' refrigerator, open it up if I'm a child.
Run in the grocery store.
And there's Gatorade and Twinkies and all kinds of stuff up in there. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. It's like, you know, we just had a Super Bowl last night. You know how many hot wings and pizzas and chips and sodas we were eating last night?
I can imagine.
I'm serious. You know, Miguel works for Frito-Lay, a little commercial there. I mean, he said that's their biggest time that they sell chips. You wouldn't believe. It's their biggest day.
Wow.
It's the Super Bowl. Mm. And think about it, a whole industry survives on chips. I mean, we're talking about health food sustenance on chips. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, wow.
Mm.
You know, we have to kind of readjust our mindset in a way when we're looking at this. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or drink? About your whole body? What will you wear?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at that scripture again and think about maybe how someone, how potent these words are of someone maybe who's because the same scripture that applies to you, trust me, is going to apply to somebody who's living in Africa right now, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And someone who's starving, Jesus is telling them, mm-hmm. do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your whole body, what will you wear? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at some folks in other parts of the world, and they barely have even clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, there's a specific reason why he tells us not to do that. And worry is defined as persistent mental uneasiness. It means to feel uneasy and anxiousness, a distress. You don't have a peace of mind anymore. Your peace of mind is disturbed. And this leads to mental agitation. You know what I'm saying? When you're worrying, your mind is messed up. You feel afraid. You feel nervous. It leads to anxiousness, fretfulness. You ever seen someone who worries? They're fussy.
Oh, yeah.
They're just constantly fussy. Just fussy. Everything bothers them.
Mm-hmm.
They're agitated. They're agitated. They're obsessed with something, preoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not really there. You're talking to them. It's like, are you? No, I'm worrying about this. It's like, well, I need you here. I need you here. Stop worrying. I need you present.
Right.
But they're not present. They're worrying about something. They have a lack of sleep. Oftentimes, people that worry, you can't sleep at night because it's this issue that they're concerned about. Yeah. Can't even say concerned. Let's say what it is. It's worrying and fearful about.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can't even eat.
Yeah.
Because you have a lack of appetite.
And they have lots of medical problems.
Oh, yeah. So it's affecting your whole body, your health. You know, and what do people worry about? They worry about their children. They worry about their finances. They worry about their marriage. What their spouse is or is not doing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They worry about the school. If you're a young person, their friends, job, the economy. You ever talk to a young person so worried about friends and you're just like, son, daughter, do you realize that in 10 years, you're not even going to worry about Jimmy or whoever.
Whoever.
See them ever again in your life. That was like a revelation to me. It's like, I'm probably not going to see any of these people ever again in my life after this moment, this brief moment.
Right.
And God, imagine how God feels. It's like, really? You're worried about that? This is just the blip. The longer you live with God, the more you realize, was I really worried about that? Was I really concerned about that? It's like the first time you have a child and you're like, oh, I'm going to feed these kids.
Can't even feed myself. I'm going to feed them.
But after you have two or three of them, you're like, oh, we feed them like we fed the last one. Well, God has
That's
provided,
right.
And we'll provide for one more, you
That's
know?
Right.
And personally, now you guys may have a different experience with this, but personally, I have never known anyone who by worrying and having mental agitation has changed their situation. I mean, do you guys know? I mean, I don't have a testimony of that. I can't share that today.
No, can't say that.
Someone said, I've worried myself to success. I've worried my situation right.
Mm-hmm.
It don't work. It just doesn't work. It robs you of your energy, and it causes you to have faith in what you think is going to happen or what the enemy is trying to convince you is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're just like, you're locked into it. You have reverse faith. And Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry. It's a trap. Don't take the bait. He says, is not life more important than food? And your body more important than clothes? And then he gives an example, verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you seen an anorexic bird? It's like, all these birds eat my food. They're taking care of, right?
All right. Who's feeding them?
Somebody's feeding them.
Yeah, it's right.
Like, where are they getting this food from? You know, they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And God, listen to me, God loves you. He says, are you not? I mean, that's the question. Are you not much more valuable than they? God's saying, look, I've got you. I didn't bring you this far to abandon you. I didn't bless you with that home. I didn't bless you with those children. I didn't bless you with that marriage. I didn't bless you with that job so that you can be wearing it. What I started out in the spirit, are you now going to try to do in the flesh?
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Are you now going to be the one responsible for all of this? Remember, you wasn't even qualified fully for this position. I helped you walk through the door. You know right. what I'm saying? You know? Remember, I just blinded you, and I caused her to fall in love with you. Remember that? You know, you said you couldn't have children, and I gave you these children.
Right.
You know, and the Lord's saying, listen, I've got you, and I've got this situation. You can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. But then he says, listen, but instead of worrying, right, because listen, you can't turn your mind off. You know, that doesn't work. But you can engage your mind into something else. You know, the word says mm-hmm. whatever's pure, whatever's lovely and excellent and trustworthy. Think on these things. You can't turn the mind off, but you can redirect the mind. You can change the channel, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus says. After he goes into this whole thing about do not worrying and isn't life more important than food and the body more important than clothes and look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. Or store in barns, they got no savings account, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. After he says all of that, he says, look, but first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God said, look, refocus your mind, refocus your direction, refocus your faith. Don't worry about stuff and things, but first, let the main thing be the main thing. Put first things first, and first things first is seeking God, mm-hmm. inquiring of the Lord, his kingdom, God's way of doing things. God says, listen, it all starts with me and ends with me. I am the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's I got this. Mm-hmm. Don't spend time, you know, paying interest on something that, you know what I'm saying, is never going to pay out. It's you're wasting that.
Right.
You think about, I mean, really, you add up the hours spent in worrying. You add up the time of lack of sleep.
Right.
You talk about the trials and the agitation and the strife that's in a home because somebody is gripped with fear and worrying and how it just saps the energy and the strength and the joy out of a home. God says, you could take that same time and that same energy since he says in another place in the Bible, you can't even add a single, he calls it a little thing. You can't even do a little thing by adding a single hour to your life. He calls that a little.
Yeah.
If you can't even do that, you know, this is wasted time and energy and effort. And you're not going to go anywhere. But take that same time and make it a choice. Make it your decision to say, I'm going to seek God about this.
Right.
I'm going to invest time in prayer. I'm going to take time in seeking God out. And that's discovering, reaching out, inquiring. Spend time in prayer. Open the Word of God. Because it's all about being with the Lord. Let me tell you something. God can give you a word of wisdom. He can give you a word of direction. He can speak to you in such a powerful way that it can completely change your whole course of action. But it took that one moment. And Chris just reminds me of what you were saying earlier about, you know, be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're agitated and running around and you know, twisting our hands and everything,
mm-hmm.
we're not being still before the Lord.
Right.
I'm always amazed at how you can just quiet yourself before God in that time of prayer and that time of seeking him. He'll drop so many nuggets in your spirit that you couldn't even hear. Like, well, God doesn't speak to me. Like, dude, you're making so much noise. You know what I'm saying? You're rattling all over the place. You can't hear a word of what he's saying.
All right.
He's speaking. The question is, are you hearing? Well, when we come back in the extra hour, we're going to talk about someone who actually sought the Lord and did exactly what God is telling us to do.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.